Now, some time back, I don't know whether that was last year, I preached a message which I titled, Beware of Futurism. Now, if I could give a title to this thought, I'll call it Beware of Futurism, Part 2. And if I could give a subject under that, I would say, Whatsoever You Do. Now, I believe this is a very important thought I want us to look at. And I pray I should be able to manage my time properly. It's not a very lengthy thing, but may God help us to convey this thought in a way that everyone will be able to appreciate the underlying purpose, or rather the bigger purpose of the thought we're trying to look at. Now let us read Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. We shall read the first verse, and the other verses, we shall read them one verse at a time. So Colossians 3, verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this opportunity that you've given us. We set aside all manner of business to come here and meditate and reflect on the readings of Scripture. Lord, may you help me to speak words that will inspire faith in my brother and in my sister's heart. That at the end of this service, we're not going to say, well, it was just one of those things of talking from the Bible. Let it be something that will be a part of our lives, something that will transform or renew our minds in the way we perceive reality or things which happen around us. So, Father, help us. We pray for all those who listen by means of the internet, that, Lord, reach out to them, for we know that the real place where we are standing is not just here in this room in Lusaka, but we are seated in heavenly places with Christ together with all who are under the preaching of this voice right now in the name of Jesus. We are so thankful and we give thanks to you, Lord. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, look at these words, and whatsoever you do, in word, or in what? Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now, when Paul says, whatsoever you do, what is he talking about? Whatsoever you do, do it in the name of the Lord. What does that mean? Whatsoever you do. Many times we want to restrict this statement to, when I'm praying for the sick, I need to do it in the name of the Lord. When I'm casting out evil spirits, I need to do it in the name of the Lord. And well, some denominations may not like it, but well, we also need to baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus, isn't it? But in all these things I've mentioned, including baptism, do you realize that these are things which, for lack of a better term, have a spiritual connotation to them? We think of God's work. We think of God's ministry. We want to do all in the name of the Lord. But when you read the whole passage in context, Paul is not limiting the whatsoever to religious work or what we may call spiritual work. He really means what he is saying in the sense of whatsoever you do, do all in the name of the Lord. How much is in whatsoever? Let's read the next verse. In the next verses, he begins to break it down. He begins to mention the whatsoever. Are we together? He begins with marriage life. He moves on to work life as a servant, as an employee. He really comes down to every aspect of your everyday life as you look at the passage. And what's the opening statement? Whatsoever you do, in what? In word. That means in your conversation as you go by the day. What sort of conversation? Is it conversations only when he says in word? Is it just conversations which are religious or just words we speak? Let's see how it opens up. In verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Now, he talks about the wife and her life. As she submits to her husband, let her do it in a similar sense the way we submit to the Lord. Are you seeing that he is taking what we have come to call natural things of this world? He brings it up to the level of God's work. Are you able to see that? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord, right? So it is not just something you do because, or culturally, I was taught I need to respect my husband. He brings the life of a wife with what she does as something she ought to do. Where? In a marriage custom? In the African cultural context? No. As in the... Are you hearing that? As in the Lord. Now, he goes further. He also addresses the husband. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Looks like it's an ancient issue for husbands to have this and that or some bitterness. I mean, are you seeing the way he's approaching it? Be not bitter against them. And then he comes down to children. Children, obey your parents in how many things?
All things.
In all things. Is it just because it's a good social norm? Is it because it's a good African thing to do? Are you seeing the way he attaches it to something spiritual? What does he say? For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So here is a child who is just respecting his parents, his mother and his father. And Paul here teaches us when God sees that, he is happy. He feels this is pleasing. So, when we speak about the nature of God, we need to be very careful. You know, we can fall in the trap of, I am born again. One day I shall go to heaven. And we project everything in the future. In so much that, oh, I'm getting up, I need to go for work. And to work, maybe you feel it's boring and it's not spiritual work. You know, I look forward to a time when I'll stop doing everything and I'll just be in the mountains and praying and seeking the Lord. But do you realize that is not how God designed life? Are you hearing what I'm saying? No. That's not how God designed life. Listen to this. When Paul says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, he's not talking about the work you do in church. He's talking about, as you read this passage, he is spelling out your everyday life. He's talking about what a wife does at home. He's talking about what a husband does. He's talking about what a child does in the home, not in the church. In other words, he begins by telling us whatever you do in word or in deed and all that. But as you read, he is talking about our social life. And everything he mentions, he says, in the Lord, pleasing to the Lord and all that. What is he talking about? He's not talking about an evangelist going out in the world somewhere and praying for the sick and all that. Because there is a danger. We think the work of the Lord is maybe what Brother Nzima does in the missions in Chatama, or when we make travels, or when we are casting out devils. There is a danger in which a believer can think that's what it means when I'm doing the work of the Lord. But is it all people who are evangelists? Is it all people who are missionaries? Is it all people who have to pray for the sick? No. When Paul says, whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, he begins by describing marital life. Then, as you read down, he's talking about our social life. It can be at school, it can be at your workplace, it can be in the kitchen. What you need to know is the work of a Christian, not the work, the life of a Christian. It encompasses all your aspects of life. And because of misconception, when someone is at work, they believe they can cut certain corners. I mean, these are not spiritual things. When someone is in a conversation with someone, like what the brother was testifying, to say, oh, earlier, you know, when I'm greeting this person, you know, I would talk about, you know, beer is bad and things like that. Now, one may have the thought like, oh, when I'm at work, maybe the way I speak to this person, after all, he's not a believer, or maybe you become harsh, right? He's just a bus conductor. You know, these are not believers. That's not how God has designed life. God has designed life in such a way that we are part and parcel of what happens in society wherever we are. Whether it's at work, whether you are on a bus, whether you are in a family. God never designed it. When he says you are not of the world, it does not mean you draw a circle around you and you can't interact with your environment. When you look at the work, Paul is talking about that whatsoever you do, it encompasses all these things we find ourselves in our everyday life. So, there is a great danger when someone says, I'm born again, I'm looking for that time when I'll go to heaven. Do you know there are people, when they heard Jesus is about to come, they resigned from work, stopped whatever they were doing, and they felt, I need to go to the mountain and spend time just in the presence of God. That's not how God designed life. You need to be ready in the everyday things you are doing. You don't shut yourself in and say, you know, to be holy, I won't talk to anyone today. That is a man-made definition of holiness, and it's religiousness. Now, look here. In verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Are you seeing again? He adds another layer to everyday things which happen to us in our homes. Are you seeing that? Yeah. And the way Paul describes it, he is giving this counsel in the context of whatever you're doing, do it in the Lord. Now, notice, he moves away from social issues, family life. Look at the next thing he gets into. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. What is he talking about? Employment. When I'm at work. Do I obey my master because he's a believer? Yeah, this one, I follow what he says. This one smokes. This one does all the wrong things. He's an unbeliever. And so you feel like you can cut corner certain things. You feel like you can be hood because nivakunja if after all vizashoke wife. No? When the Bible tells us we're going to be judged for what we do, it's not about God is going to judge me whether I'm preaching the word, whether I'm praying for the sick. It's about the everyday things you do in your everyday life, at your workplace, in the home, the way you relate with people. When we talk about the all-seeing eye of God, is it just about, did I pray and fast? Spiritual life is deeper than we think. It's not just one set of religious activities. It's in the way we do everything. Now, servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but now, notice, he says, when you are working for someone, if he's your boss, obey him. Respect him. Hey, that's not a pastor. That's not some bishop. It's just someone in the world who has given you a job, right? Obey him. And look at the next words he says. He says, not with eye service, meaning don't just be a good worker when your boss is around looking at you. He says, not with eye service, no. Or a man pleaser. You are just doing it so that your boss is pleased. He says, no. Don't you do it as a man pleaser. Then what does he say? How should you do it? How should you do it? What's the next word? He says, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Oh, here is a boss, I feel. He pays me little money. These people are very bad. I work so hard and... Paul says, obey them. As... in fearing God. Now, if he is my boss, Paul says, I should give him respect, not just for his sake, but as in fearing. In other words, it is God who has made it possible for me to be in that place of work. Even if it's that boss who's given me that work to do, there is nothing we can have in this life on our own. It's God who put you there. If it is God who put you there, he's the bigger boss. Oh, but I don't like my boss, the way he acts and the way he... Didn't the word of God say we should be meek? Didn't the word of God say we should endure? Didn't the word of God say we commit all things in the hands of the Lord? He is the one who sees our oppression. So if I have someone oppressive, say, Lord, what is your will in this thing? Give me wisdom. Give me grace. How am I going to handle this? Could it be it's a test you are going through? How should you overcome that test? Are you going to overcome it by behaving in an unchristian manner? So they give me little pay. So maybe you've been sent to sell things. You sell, you sell, you sell, and you say, I think this is for my pocket. God sees. He's a God who sees. He sees. God sees how unfair these people are. This I'll use it for myself. No. That is stealing. I don't care how bad your boss is. Because if I have someone who is my supervisor, I need to relate with him. No matter how bad he is, I'm not responding to him because I fear, not him, I fear the God who's given me an opportunity to work in this environment. And no matter how bad the environment is, I work as pleasing the Lord. Do you realize that is how Joseph lived his life in Egypt? Is that so? Joseph was sold into slavery. He started working for these unbelievers, idol worshippers, abusing them. But check the life of Joseph. Even when he was locked up in prison, he was very respectful to those fellow prisoners. Although being a prisoner, they were at the same level, he respected them as his seniors. Even when they had dreams, God even helped him have the interpretation to give them the interpretation of their dreams. May we pick the example of Joseph. But in singleness of heart, fearing God. That is why, suppose you are a believer and you are looking for another job because you don't like what they do to you in this particular place. Even as you give your request to say, Lord, I need a new job, there's nothing wrong with giving prayer requests. We know the scriptures in Philippians, is it 4 verse 6? It says we should be anxious for nothing. In other words, we shouldn't be worried and all that. But in everything, it says what? In everything, prayer. In everything with prayer. Thanks, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto the Lord. So we don't just make requests for new things, but let us be thankful for the present things he's given us. Lord, I thank you for the opportunities you've been giving me. Thank you for this job. Lord, I have a desire. With all these responsibilities which are coming my way, I really desire this job which I saw advertised. If it is your will, Lord, bless me. Bless my application. But in all these things, Lord, I'm so thankful because there is another person who doesn't have this present work which I have. If it pleases you, Lord, I'll be glad to have this new job. What are you doing? You are being thankful for what you have. You are not just being motivated by covetousness. You are not satisfied with this. Oh, you want another thing. You know, the people who live life like that, they'll never reach a place where they're satisfied. Now, look at this. Verse 23. And whatsoever you do. Now, we've come across this word again for the second time. Are you noticing that? Do you realize that in verse 17, it began with, and whatsoever you do. In verse 23 again, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Are you seeing that he is still on that subject? It's not like in verse 17 he mentioned something and in the other verses he's talking about something different. He is still talking about whatsoever. So he says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. Commit your heart to it. Because the will of God is what it has permitted you to have at that moment. So do it heartily. When Joseph was a slave, he did his work as a slave heartily. That is why they said, this young man is very committed. They promoted him. When he was promoted, he still respected his seniors. He knew they were idol worshippers. He knew they didn't have... One thing is, he respected them. The only thing you can't trick Joseph into is when what you tell him to do crosses the word of God. There he won't obey you. You know, you can still respect someone and disobey them when something crosses what the higher authority requires of you. Yeah. When Potiphar's wife say, come, young man. He says, no. I can't do this. He obeyed his masters in everything, except things which the word of God did not allow. Right? You don't just say, yeah, I think it's God providing me this opportunity. The devil can fool your mind in so many ways in making you disobey God. Why? Because many times we think disobeying God is doing something connected to some religious thing. Oh, if it's a man of God, I need to make sure everything I do is right. No. What about your boss? You also need to make sure you do everything right and correct. Praise God. You know, it's like this copyright issue. I don't know how many know copyright. A long time ago, when I was in school, maybe someone, you know, they just take these things and they sell them to you, and that thing has a copyright on it. And you just say, well, it's cheaper. I mean, it's all right, you know, I can get it. I'm not talking about a second-hand thing. I'm talking about maybe something pirated, something which maybe the owner put in a lot of effort to produce that thing, Another person just duplicates it or photocopies it, and then, well, you get it and, you know, buy it. Do you realize there's theft which has happened? That person took a copyrighted material, photocopied it, and so when he sells that thing to you, the pay does not go to the original producer. That person has stolen. And that is why when you open a book, it says, you cannot photocopy, duplicate this thing without permission and all that. You know that statement, huh? Now, I know in Zambia, when you talk about bring up a subject like this, it sounds very strange because photocopying is commonplace. We even photocopy the page which has the copyright notice. We photocopy it, even that. When you look at issues of software, it's just to click, I agree, enter. It starts the installation process, right?
Yes.
Well, I don't subscribe to that. That is why many times if I need to get a book, if it's not secondhand, I want to get it from an authorized distributor. Because you understand these things when you know what goes into the production of that thing. They pay people to do that. It's work. So whenever there's any leakage in the process, it is their income getting lost. Now, let me share this to you. Do you know the Bible says in the last days knowledge will increase? Do you know that things have become more complicated? But do you also know that sin has become very complicated? A long time ago, stealing was you breaking a window, the burglar buzz. You go in and you steal something physical. If there are three books, you just steal one book. Someone wakes up and says, there were three books here. One book has been taken away. A long time ago, it used to take a lot of effort to sin. I mean, a real physical effort to sin. If it's adultery, it had to be physical. If it is stealing, it had to be physical. You actually are in a location and you've stolen something. That's how physical sin was. But do you realize that as we move forward in time, sin has become very subtle? You can be caught up in sin and you think there's nothing wrong happening. Why? The way the world is becoming digital, even sin has become digital. Do you realize that?
Yes.
Yep. I can be a thief and I look very good here. I don't know how many things you have on the phones which are not copyrighted. You know, you see a believer, oh, there's Wi-Fi, but now you're in a password. And there he is, he's browsing, enjoying the privileges for which he was not given access. Even listening a message. Using internet for which the owner didn't authorize you. That is how complicated it has become. For me to be caught in adultery, oh, a long time ago, and all that. But a man can be involved in sin and all the filth and dirty things right on his phone when his wife is not there. Committing adultery right on the phone. A long time ago, if one is having an affair with another woman, you needed to actually check out when the husband is not there. Maybe you go to greet the woman, maybe at some dark place and all that. But now there is WhatsApp. Two people who are married and all that can be in a deep chat, even intimate chat, just on the phone. There's so much evil, there's so much wickedness in this world, which is rushing through the airwaves. And if we were to see it, you realize that devils are in every place now. Do you realize that? The Lord Jesus said, you've heard it was said, thou shalt not commit adultery, but whosoever looks upon a woman lustfully. See how, with the moving of time, even what the responsibility God requires on an individual has also been scaled up. Do you see it in that statement of Jesus? A long time ago, it was physical, but now, just upon looking on sight. So do not think the world has advanced And spirituality is still lagging behind. And sin is still the ancient things we read about. Satan has upgraded the way he does things. When such a thing happens, the more responsibility and accountability is also on your shoulders as a believer. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. And I was very excited the other time when we were chatting with Brother Zima, and then he shared the same thought. He says, you know, I don't feel comfortable just using copyrighted materials like that. I thought, oh, that's interesting, because many times my students would laugh at me. You know, a long time ago, I would, if there is Microsoft Office Word, for example, I would use and install it on my machine and I wouldn't have problems. But later on, when my heart felt convicted, I said, no, that is wrong. And for a long time now, if it's an application, I buy applications on my machine. Don't use things like, and the owners of this application would be so upset with me. But you know, there are software tools you can use to download any stuff you want on the internet. You can break the barriers of buying that thing, and you say, oh, munagula, ine nina torrent ine. That's a believer talking. Now, when a sin becomes commonplace, it becomes very normal until when the one who does the right thing does the right thing, you really look like you have an off key on your musical scale of your life. You know, like, who can manage to do that? I remember the time I was teaching, I used to teach a subject called legal and professional issues in computing, and I would teach about copyright issues and all that. And the time I took a study in that, that's when I realized how serious these things are. But in Africa, I mean, like I said, I asked my students, I said, how much is Microsoft Office? How much is it from the shop? Everyone didn't know the price. I said, so you mean all your laptops no one bought? So it's fine, I have it on my flash disk. I mean, it's just a click away and it starts installation and all that. That's how a whole society takes, I mean, in Africa, these things have become normal. Why should I spend 3,000-4,000 kwacha when it's a click away from me? The trouble is when a wrong thing becomes very common. The way those students were wondering, you know, were puzzled when I told them, all of you and all these applications you have on your machines, you've just told me you are thieves. You stole that product. And being computer science students, you know how much time of programming goes into that thing. I don't care whether you say they are fair with their, they're not fair with their pricing and all that. No. It's not about that. It's about laws which Caesar has put in place. They need to be followed. Because you are an ambassador. And you know one of the rules of an ambassador? Don't break laws in the country where you've gone into. You need to respect the territory you are in, even if it's an enemy's territory. You need to understand the statement I've just said, huh? Right? The law says, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, right? We're not saying we are perfect people here, but if we are talking about the rapture, you need to know the standard of the rapture is higher than all these systems of the world. And this is where I want to drive my point home. How do you live your life as a Christian? Do you say, one day the rapture will happen, one day the rapture will happen? Do you know what you are saying? The statement started with believers in the early church. Do you realize that? Paul says, Jesus is coming soon. Those who are not married, it's better you remain like that. Do you know Paul looked at it that way? You've read it in the scriptures? Those who are unmarried, it's better you remain unmarried. What was his reason? What was his reason? Because the Lord is coming soon, right? Amen. But later on, he says, let the young widows marry. Later on, he gives a deeper teaching on that. He says, don't be bothered whether by letter or whatever it is that, you know, like the coming of Christ is so much at hand. You've read that in Thessalonians, right? It says, because there will be signs given. Later on, you see the apostle saying, in the last days, the love of men will grow cold. You can see they are projecting it in the future. Now, look at a believer who lived in that time and believed Jesus is about to come. Jesus is about to come. Jesus is about to come. How many years has it been? Over almost 2,000 years, right? Now, if all your life you summarize it to, I'm waiting for the coming of Christ. So you are seated down. What does it mean to wait for the coming of Christ? Look, between where you are and the coming of Christ, God hasn't told us to warm chairs here. There's work to be done. What work is that? No, we're not talking about evangelism. We're not talking about praying for the sick and casting out devils. Because there's a danger, you may think those are things which only constitute the work of God. No, that's not what Paul is teaching here. He says, in whatsoever you do, are you a husband? Be a good one. Because what you are doing is the work of the Lord. Are you a wife? Be a very good wife. God will reward you in that. It doesn't mean God will reward you because you are on a crusade preaching. Our rewards, our blessings, they touch on every aspect of what we do in life. Oh, the brother is working in a bank. Brother, if that is the portion God has given you, you need to be faithful in what you are doing there and how you relate with people. God is watching that, and God is saying, is he a right candidate for the millennium? What you are doing in this present time, that's what God is looking at. So woe to him who is doing nothing now and he projects everything in the future. I hope we're getting that. Now, look, as we go down, he says, oh, where was that? I think I flipped my page. Sorry? Yeah. Sorry, my page had flipped. Yeah. Then he says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily. What is that? Are you a worker? Do it heartily. Are you a maid at some home? Do it heartily. Are you a security guard? Do it heartily. Don't say, ah, Nchito, I wish I was just, you know, a job which could give me time to pray. No, spend time in prayer as you are that post of duty. That's the place God has given you. If you're waiting for some glorious time when, you know, you have time to do what you want, suppose tomorrow is the day God has said you'll die. What would you have done as you are waiting for that time? You would have lost out. Suppose where you are right now, that's the place God has called you. What will you do? So now he says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily. As to the Lord and not unto men. So the scripture tells us, although you are working for a man, whatever you do, are you a security guard? Are you a seller in a shop? Are you a teacher? Whatever you are doing, are you teaching children? Or whatever work you are doing, do it to the Lord. Do it to the glory of God. Your reward is in that. Now, look at verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Ah. Whatever you are doing, whatever work, are you a husband? Are you a wife? Paul says, your reward lies in that. Amen. He says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward. The reward for what? For being a good wife, for being a good husband, for being a child who pleases the father, for being a worker who obeys his master. Your reward. He now brings it to the reward. So he's not saying, oh, your reward is because you spent 2 hours praying and you locked yourself up. No. As believers, we pray without ceasing. Are you at work? Let your heart be in prayer. Thank the Lord. Worship him. Prayer is not a religious activity. Prayer is a life. Amen. Yes. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. He says, you serve the Lord. What does it mean you serve? Is it what I'm doing here, preaching and all that? If I'm called to do that, yes, I'm serving the Lord. But that's not what Paul is talking about. Paul has described a husband, he has described a wife, he has described a child, he has described an employee, and he says, you serve the Lord. In what? Whatever work you are doing. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. For the wrong which he hath done where? At his home. At his workplace. In your life, in short. And there is no respect of persons. So, let's never get trapped into futurism where we think, oh, one day the Lord is going to reward us. What will he reward us for? He will reward me for bringing 10 souls to the kingdom. That is good. That could be part of it, but it's not the only thing. Because not everyone could be called to be a preacher. That's not how God has designed life. That's why Paul says, is it all who are speakers of tongues? Is it all who prophesy? No. Paul says, live as God has called you. You say, oh, the only work I do, I work in a restaurant whilst my friends are in the field evangelizing. Don't you know your field is where you are cooking? That's your field. Greet your clients. Pray for them. Give them a little tract. Are you a wife? Lead your children in prayer. Make sure they dress orderly. Make sure they go to church early in the morning. Your reward lies in that. How faithful are you to God? How are you raising these children? How faithful are you in your workplace? Christianity is not what we speak. It's the manifestation of our lives. Amen. That's what Christianity is. Christianity is not bound to a time and a place like a church. No. Here we've just come. This is just a filling station. The purpose of a vehicle is not to be at a filling station. If vehicles had a will and thoughts, and if they had the same behaviors as us believers, filling stations would be a big mess. Because someone will be waking up early in the morning and say, oh, I've gone to the filling station, that's where the purpose of my life is. And there will be a lot of vehicles at the filling station. And then the one who manufactured these vehicles, he will say, oh, poor vehicles. This is just a filling station where they're supposed to feed the fuel and do the work. What is the work? Maybe carry the boss to work. What is the work? Maybe carry children to school. What is the work? Maybe transport vegetables to a marketplace. Every vehicle has its purpose, but the purpose of a vehicle is not eating fuel. Fuel, it only facilitates the purpose for which that vehicle was bought. So when you think Christianity is the way we've gathered here, you are very mistaken. This is a filling station. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's just a filling station. You know, it's just a filling station. Unfortunately, certain vehicles which don't get serviced, you can fill it with full tank, but it's a fuel touch now nongeka. This thing, maybe the wheels are not aligned. Before it accomplishes the purpose, fuel tank is already halfway. So when you go to a filling station, you need servicing. When you go to a filling station, the joy of the vehicle is in fulfilling the purpose of the one who dwells inside it. May we be vehicles that carry the purpose of God.
Amen. Amen.
If you are a Corolla, just as an example, don't look at a big truck and say, I wish I was like that. If there is a big truck and someone uses the truck to take children to school, that truck is very useless. You understand that? But if there is a little Corolla, what's the smallest one?
Daihatsu.
Okay, let's talk about one we know. Vitz. If there is a Vitz, and every day it does good work, by ferrying its owner to the workplace, it's fulfilling its purpose. It's a good vehicle. You understand that?
Yes.
And when the day of judgment comes, God says, oh, this vid did its work very well. The poor truck, maybe it was misused for a wrong purpose. God will say, hey, this is not what I meant for you to do. So the thing is, what has God called you to do? You don't have to go in 3 days fasting and you are figuring out, do I need to speak in tongues? What is my spiritual gift? Many times we think of spiritual gifts in terms of prophesying, in terms of praying for the sick. But do you remember the listing Paul makes? It brings in things we never thought. He talks about helps. He talks about administration. He talks about you are a spiritual being. That's what you need to know. You are a spiritual being. Whatever God has called you to do, it's spiritual work in itself. Because if I do anything and it doesn't add to any spiritual value, that really is vanity. But whatever I do, whether it's physical work, I want it to contribute towards my spiritual well-being, towards the work of God. Well, let us end here. But let us close with 2 verses. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 1 to 5. We can end on those two. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 1 to 5. Dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? So Paul is rebuking these believers of Corinth. These believers, they would have issue against each other. Let's say Brother Chitoshi maybe has an issue with Brother Lakson. What used to happen, they would take each other to court, to a court of law. And Paul's upset with this thing. He rebukes them. He says, you are both believers. Why do you take another before, you know, these worldly courts of law? He says in verse 2, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? Now, let me pause here. If you've been given a work of a judge, one of the qualifications, you need to be very wise. You need to know how to assess things before you pass judgment. Now, Paul says, or rather the scripture says, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Let that sink in real deep. You know what Paul is saying? God will make you judges in the future. Now, if really you'll be judges in the future and you are failing to judge earthly matters, what kind of judges will you be? Are you seeing that Paul has taken a usual natural occurrence to which we are exposed and he says, God is interested in how you handle such matters because that's the work you'll be doing in the future. In other words, you don't prepare for the future by doing nothing in the present. In other words, God assesses our abilities in the present tense of how we live our lives. How faithful are you at your workplace? It can never be that you are unfaithful at your workplace and suddenly you'll be faithful in the millennium. It can never be. Because death will never change anyone. It will just change the place where we are. If one dies a sinner, it doesn't mean suddenly when they find themselves as a soul, disembodied, that suddenly, oh, they'll start telling the truth because they've seen how bad where they are now is. No. That is why even in the Great Tribulation, when people, I mean, in the times when their vows will be poured out, do not think when these wicked people will be crying that they'll be repenting. They'll be crying and cursing God for the pain. Why? That's their nature. So, here we are told, if we'll be judges in the future, God is testing us. How are we judging small matters? Right? So now, know ye not, verse 3, know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life, that is the present life. So how do you make your judgment when you are going for work? How do you divide your time? When you wake up every day, how do you budget your energy to say, okay, as my day starts, I need to start with this activity, then I need to... God watches over all those things. How wise are we? How do we treasure the gifts he has put in our hands? When I say gift, I'm not talking about gift of prophecy. I'm talking about the gift of life, the gift of time, the gift of energy, the gift of money he has put in your hands. How do you spend it? The kind of food you eat. Do you just feed yourself junk food and all that? If you can't take care of your physical body, how will you take care of your spiritual body? God is interested in everything. That is why Paul says, don't fornicate with your body. Don't you know it's a temple of the Holy Ghost? Meaning, if you take care of your physical body, you'll be someone who is also careful with the way you take care of your spiritual aspects. God watches how we do everything. What good does it do to condemn a drunkard? Hey, don't you know this is bad for health? You know, this is the temple of the Holy Ghost and all that. But you also, you drink a lot of sugar. You keep adding sugar to your cup of tea and all that. I'll come to you and say, don't you know this is bad for your liver? We can't be lopsided. You understand that? We need to manage everything God has given us with utmost care, because what I do every day, how I manage my time, how I judge over matters, how I shouldn't be biased, God is interested in that, because that has a bearing on how or whether or not you can rule in the world to come. It's not just prayer and fasting that will qualify you to be a ruler in the coming world. It's how you do things at your workplace. It's how you do things in your family. It's how you rule and control your own family. That is why the time God will be giving rewards, will be very shocked to see people we never saw preaching, people we never had any idea about. Because many times we think greatness is judged by what big number is following me. What kind of great works do I do? In God's economy, the scale is very different. Very different. When Elijah was promised, Elijah will come. The angel appeared to Zacharias. Your child will go in the spirit and power of Elijah. What do you think were expectations of Elizabeth and Zacharias? Spirit and power of Elijah. If I ask you, what's the spirit and power of Elijah? You think about, hey, Elijah opened the heavens. Elijah caught fire from heaven. That's what we think power is. That's what we think the spirit of Elijah is. But when you read John 10, what does the Bible say? John did know. The only thing he had was teaching, preaching. And then he came, he went. They asked Jesus, yeah, you know, we can see you are the Messiah and all these signs, whatever. But our teachers tell us, Elijah has to come first. We haven't seen Elijah. He says, oh, he came and he went. And Jesus says, among all born of women. Are you seeing how strange this scale is? On that scale, there's Moses, remember. There's Elijah.
Yes.
Hey, have you read the great works they did?
And Elisha.
And Elisha. Look at how strange the scale is among all born of women. Was Moses born of women?
Yes.
Was Elijah born of a woman?
Yes.
Among all these great exploits you do, he says, none is greater than
John the Baptist.
John. Ha. And he says, if any of you is humble, you can be greater than John. So in case some of you have aspirations to for your CVs, there is that provision. But how do you fulfill that provision?
Yeah.
It works on different principles altogether. Different principles. And it can only be the Holy Spirit in you. This is the principle. The more it's less of you, less of your flesh, less of your ambitions and all that, the more you die to yourself, the more God can fill you, and he himself does the work. The lesser you are, the greater God is in you. Amen. Shall we stand? So beware of futurism. Don't look so much into the future you forget about the present. Don't say one day, you know, when I have a free work, I'll just be able to pray 7 days, I'm just locked up. Hey, God has never called anyone to do such things. One time, Brother Branham got discouraged. People were no longer interested in his message and all that, and you know, he started having his own thoughts. He said, anyway, I think I'll just be staying in the wilderness, and I'll just be coming out when I've just said the Lord. He had this complexity build up in his mind to say, maybe, you know, I just seclude myself, you know. And it is normal when you're a human being and people don't seem, you know, you are going through all these battles. There were people who appreciated him, but there were so much thoughts going in him. He started saying, you know, maybe, you know, I just go out in the wilderness. I'll only be coming out, you know. And he started telling himself, you know, that's how Elijah was and all that. But really, it was coming from, he was getting discouraged. And you know, one day they were in a restaurant. There's a poor man and a poor fellow who came in. They call them bums. You know where bum is? People who are very poor, sometimes they scavenge on the heaps of rubbish and all that. You've seen people like that, huh?
Yes.
Someone dirty and then when Brother Branham walked into this place, I think with Billy Paul, Brother Branham saw this man, I think that was a Texan or something like that. He was well built and, you know, like a cowboy, you know, and very. And then the man gave out a very good cough, you know, someone who is just well built, looking handsome. He said, "Oh, chew!" Then, you know, Brother Brown tells Billy Paul, you know, that man looks like me, you know, if, you know, he says, like, that's how I'll be, you know. Brother Branham admired the way that man was looking. And then Billy Paul, later on, there is a poor man and another man who came walking in. They were bums. They were dirty with, you know, like people from the street and all that. And when the man entered, Billy Paul laughed. He says, "No, Dad, you can't look like that. You know how that man looks like. He looks like you and Uncle. I don't know the other Uncle Billy Paul." He says, "They look exactly like you." Then when Brother Branham looked at that, oh my, it did something to him. And you know what the Holy Spirit told him? The voice of God later spoke to Brother Branham. He says, if you do what you are planning to do, to leave the ministry and just seclude yourself, you draw your circle and you are just in there, whatever, he says, that's exactly how you end up. God pointed at those bums. He says, you look just like that man you saw there. You know, when I read that, it spoke something to my heart. We can build a complex in our hearts where you feel like holiness, because of certain issues you are going through, you can define some standards of holiness where you feel you can't talk to people at your workplace. They are this and that. You know what I mean? Just the complexity is building. Maybe because of unfair things people do to you and all that. That's the situation Brother Branham was in. But you know, God hasn't designed it like that. You need to stay in that environment and overcome. That's where your test is. You don't seclude yourself from a test. You overcome it by being right in the midst of it. Is someone showing me hate? Let me love them. That's how you overcome. You don't seclude and go to the bush. You say, I'll find spiritual victory there. No. If there's trouble, pray for strength. And God will help you. He will reward you in that. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for this evening, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us the gift of life. And this gift you've given us, you've placed some of us in certain places. You've placed others in certain workplaces. You've placed others in various situations. May we each have the revelation, Lord, of the work you've given us in whichever environment where we are. May we be able to see your work. May we be able to hear your voice in whatever situation and circumstance. There are schoolboys here, Lord. Let them live effectively and victoriously wherever they are. If it's a worldly environment, you haven't taught us to hide our light under some shed. You've taught us to shine our lights. And where it is darkest, we know that's where your light shines brightest. So help us, Lord. And give us strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the Lord richly bless us all. Amen.